Skeletons, goblins, ghouls, and ghosts, come to our party. We'll be your hosts. Which is implied by the word our. Come to our party. We'll be... Forget, we'll get into it in the book. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and we are in our second week of spooky season. And thank goodness we are, because I've got a spooky bookie for you. A book that is the encompassing spirit of Halloween between two hard covers. Yes, this week I have got an actual hardback edition of a book that came out a couple of years back. I also have the digital edition, but I have a pretty cool Halloween treat in store for you. Let me just grab it.
Where is it? It's right here.
This week's book is The Berenstain Bears' Big Halloween Party. Now, this book is from 20, almost said 19. This book is from 2021. I would assume most of the children who are being read Berenstain Bears books, even the smallest, tiniest ones, probably born either the year this came out or before. This is a really current book, a really current Halloween book, and a beautiful specimen of hardbackery. That's right. The Berenstain Bears Big Halloween Party is, in all regards, the Berenstain Bears Big Halloween Party. We've seen the Berenstain Bears throw multiple Halloween parties in the past. We've seen the Berenstain Bears celebrate Halloween, talk about Halloween, philosophize about Halloween. Last week, we discovered that Halloween is sweet. That's right. It's a tasty time of year. And it's a time not to judge your neighbors. It's a time to be friends with each other. It's a time to go out and fulfill the social contract that is Halloween. But what about the essence of Halloween? What about the thing that makes it fun, makes it a reason to celebrate? What about the spookiness, the gooblins, the goblins, the creeps and crawls? What about the Halloween fest, the party, the festival, the shindig, the clam bake, the get together, the how do you do, the fine, what have you? I don't have any other words for parties. Celebration, the magnanimous fantabulosity that is orange and black crepe paper hanging from the ceiling and a nasty bucket of apples. What of the Halloween party? Have you been to a Halloween party? And when you were a kid, did you go to Halloween parties? I went to a few Halloween parties in my youth. The neighborhood had a Halloween party once, like for the Halloween season, for the kids in the area. The parents threw it. I don't remember whose house it was at. I want to say it was at the Corbins, but I bet that was incorrect. I think there was a family who lived on our street. They moved away when I was very young. I think it may have been the Carlisles. I think the Carlisles had a Halloween party. And when I say had a Halloween party, I mean a full-on, I don't remember much about it. But I do remember there was a tin bucket of apples to Bob. And I was like, ooh, bobbing for apples. That thing I've read about in books about Halloween parties. Gave it is absolutely impossible and not very much fun. Difficult to do. Like, just reaching into the bucket with your mouth was hard. I was like, this is kind of gross. And why do I want an apple in the first place? Like, I can ask my mom for an apple and she'll probably just hand me one. And it's not like candy. Like, candy is a different thing. Candy is a sometimes thing. It's a very specific times of year thing. It is not a something that arrives in abundance and not something that arrives on demand. However, at Halloween, it does both of those things. But so why are we begging for, why are we bobbing for apples? Why the bobbery? Why the snobbery? Why the flim-flam flobbery? I don't have an answer to that question. But I do have an answer to how the Berenstain Bears address that answer in this week's book. That's right. This week's book, which we've already talked about, The Berenstain Bears Big Halloween Party. And look at this cover. Look at this gorgeous cover. If you're watching this on YouTube, look at the cover. We see Papa holding a beautiful jack-o'-lantern. We see Mama appraising a dangling bat right above her head. We see a giant fake spider coming down off a giant fake spider web. We see what appears to be brother dressed as a dragon. We see sister dressed as some sort of space jockey princess. I'm not sure what it is. She has a letter S on her chest and a crown on her head, but she's wearing some kind of like space uniform. I can't tell what it is. Also looks like she has some sort of beak on her hat. She's a mishmash. She's a creative type. And then down on the bottom, we have a little honey bear who seems to be dressed as some sort of Valentine bug or something. I don't know. But she's an infant. Who cares? Maybe she was dressed that way. We're going to have to find out. All I know is that this cover is gorgeous. It's beautiful. It has the spirit of Halloween all over it. I just want to remind everyone, Mike Berenstain, the Berenstain family loves Halloween. You can just tell by the way they write about it. And if I'm wrong, they're doing a great job at lying about it. But Mike also seems to be a big fan of Halloween. He seems to be a Halloween traditionalist. Like, Halloween is about candy, it's about costumes, it's about hanging out with your friends, it's about Halloween parties, it's about jack-o'-lanterns, it's about bats and spiders and ghouls, and he uses the word goblins in the opening poem. He says goblins. In fact, let's quit cutting, kicking, circling around the old mulberry bush and get right to the story. Yes, skeletons, goblins, ghouls, and ghosts. Now, I love goblins. I love the idea of goblins. To me, goblins is one of the funniest words in the entire world. And referring to things as my favorite thing about E.T. the extraterrestrial. I love referring to E.T. the extraterrestrial as a goblin. I'm like, it's that movie about that goblin. The boy makes friends with a goblin because he's a goblin. And I love people using the word goblin. I think it's the funniest word in the world. Goblins. Skeletons, goblins, ghouls, and ghosts. I love how he uses skeletons, too, in the opening poem. Skeletons. Skeleton is a great word, isn't it? Like, isn't skeleton just... Skeleton is a top-tier word in the English language. It's got that nice triplet to it, which is already, it's appealing. Da-da-da-da. You know, skeleton, 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 skeleton. You can just say it all day. You can also call them skeletons, which is fun. You can call them skellingtons, which is even more fun. Or you can call them skullivans, which is my personal favorite alternate skeleton way of saying skeleton. Skeletons, goblins, and then we got ghouls and ghosts. That's Halloween. That's literally what Halloween. First of all, ghosts and skeletons year-round. That's year-round, right? Because you have them inside your body. You are literally a skeleton surrounded by meat, right? And ghosts, well, that's the rest of it. Like, you got the skeleton, you got the meat. The ghost is what makes you move around. I assume that's how it works, right? I'm not a religious man, but I think it's pretty much just skeletons and ghosts. But then you got goblins, which... I don't even know what the definition of goblin is in real life. I think it's just a creepy thing. A thing that sits in your closet, stares at you when you go to sleep. Right? Like, that's a goblin, kids. A goblin is that thing you're afraid of in the closet. And it's there, and when you're asleep, it's looking at you. Even if you close the door, it's watching you. It's there. It's sneaking up on you. Right now. It's behind you. Watch out. Ghouls. A ghoul is a creature that dwells, I believe, in graveyards and feasts on the flesh of the dead, but not like we feast on the flesh of the dead, like feasts on the flesh of human corpses. I think it may either even be a formerly... Were ghouls ever people? I can't remember how it works. In any case, what people think of as like Romero zombies traditionally were referred to as ghouls, like in the olden, like in the early days of the Romero zombie movies. They were like, oh, those are ghouls because they're creatures that eat the dead. But they also kill people, which I think is not what ghouls do. I think ghouls are just scavengers, but like not really scavengers because you've already buried. In any case, probably won't have actual ghouls coming to your party. But I guarantee you, if you have human beings at your Halloween party, you're going to have skeletons, you're going to have ghosts. Even if you don't decorate, can't help them, can't stop them from coming. Come to your party, we'll be your host. Of course you will. It's your party. I mentioned that up top. Come to our party. We're going to host it. Yes, you would not have invited me if that was not the case. Come to somebody else's party. We won't be your hosts. That's how that works. That's just the English language at this point. So, what is this book? First of all, we got a title page spread. Berenstain Bears, Possessive S, Big Halloween Party. And this is classic Berenstain Bears. Gorgeous book, by the way. Gorgeous book. Reminds one of classic Stan and Jannery. Like, this is, we've got creepy old trees, we got spooky old owls, we've got haunting bats. I love this two-page spread. There's three spooky trees in this thing, and they all have gnarled limbs, and they all have terrifying, like, faces. In fact, I think one is just the other, is one just the other one flipped? Is one just one reversed? I can't tell. Did they just take one tree and flip it? You know what? Who cares? Because the spooky tree is so spooky, I don't even mind if they use the clone stamp tool and flipped it and reversed it. Flip it, stick it, reverse it. There's your spooky tree. But then we got a spooky tree in the middle of the page at the crease where it folds. So in order to really see it, you got to get the digital edition as well to get that full two-page spread. It's great. It's great. Berenstain Bears' Big Halloween Party. It's not even a picture of a party. It's just a picture of atmosphere. And I love it. I love it. I love Halloween. I'm even wearing one of my Halloween shirts just for everyone. Just because I wanted to be in the spirit of the season for this one. So let's take a look. What's this story about? I'm going to give you a hint right off the bat. There's no story here. This is not a story. This is just a celebration of aesthetic. This is an aesthetic. This is literally like a Pinterest board book. Like, that's it. This is just, I like to think about Halloween. I'm going to write a book about that. I'm going to write a book about the things I like about Halloween. Here we go. So it's Autumn in Bear Country. Gorgeous. Again, another gorgeous two-page spread. And what I love about this two-page spread is that it is, we have the treehouse in, like, on the right side. In the foreground, we have the kids jumping into a pile of leaves. We have a cardinal watching in the extreme foreground. We have looks like a caterpillar making a cocoon on the right side foreground. So we've got this multi-layered image. So at the very bottom of the page, closest to the reader, we have a cardinal on one side and a caterpillar building a cocoon on the other side. I think the caterpillar has an arm. Not really sure how that works, but we've got that. Then, like, next, from a perspective wise, then we got the cubs jumping into a beautiful pile of autumn leaves. Just behind them, to the right, we have the parents raking, and Mama is collecting squash from her garden. We got the massive treehouse decorated for Halloween behind them. But then behind that, we've got a neighborhood scene. We see the sunny dirt road. We see several neighbors. I assume that the Bruins are there. We see three more houses, not tree houses. You know, Papa has the tree house, but these houses are freestanding. They're decorated for Halloween. We see people raking. We see people heading off, looks like, to work. We see one of those, like, ghosts hanging in a tree. We see jack-o'-lanterns. We see, and then far in the background, we see the mail carrier walking up, just up the sunny dirt road. And I love that attention to detail. That's a cute thing we don't tend to see in Bear Town. We don't, in a lot of the Bear and St. Bear's books, that's just business. We don't have to see the letter carrier just sort of going about her rounds, but we are. Well, Mike has thrown that in for us. I don't know. I know that I'm making a big deal out of nothing, but this it's a really nice picture, and I wanted to give credit where it's due. This is a great just holiday scene. So kudos, Mike. Kudos, Mike. Kudos, Mike. So the cubs are thinking about what they're going to wear. Here's where we get an explanation of what their costumes are. Brother wants to be a fire-breathing dragon. Sister wants to be, and I love this, she wants to be a swan mutant superhero, which it would appear to be, in her mind, a swan mutant, like a person who is mutated into a swan, who I guess is also like the swan princess, like, because she has a crown on. But she's also a superhero, which means she has an S on her chest. And she's holding her wings out, like these are fully mobile wings. Brother wants to be a dragon with fire coming out of its nostrils. And Honey Bear wants to be a bug, a big bug, a ladybug. And the cubs think that's cute. And I like that the cubs aren't critical of Honey's choice, but they aren't impressed by it either. They're just like, great, that's cute, great, you're a little child, we don't need to criticize your choice of costume. Ladybug, fine, whatever. It's a cute drawing, though. It's a cute drawing of Honey Bear dressed as a little ladybug. But remember, these are all costumes in their imaginations. And Mama and Papa make it clear right off the bat, you're not going to buy these costumes. Like, these, you're not going to find what you want to be in the store. You can go to every Spirit Halloween, you're not going to find a swan mutant superhero, right? You might find a fire-breathing dragon. You will find a ladybug. For a toddler, you will find a ladybug. You're not going to find everything else. So you're going to have to make these. If you want these costumes, you have to make them. Now, at this point, I was like, oh, is this a book about, like, compromise? Is this going to be about how, like, brother and sister have to compromise on what they want to be for Halloween because they're too complicated? No. But brother and sister say, look, if we're going to make these costumes, maybe you and Mama could help us make them. And here is another prize-winning moment in the Berenstain Bears. Mama and Papa look at each other and sigh. Yes, it is that resignation of, I guess I'm on the hook for three complicated Halloween costumes this year. I used to love making Halloween costumes with my kids. I made Mitzi a ghost costume at the last minute that I didn't even think it was possible to really make a white sheet ghost. I thought that was just a thing that people did in cartoons. I had to, like, figure out really how to do it, because a white sheet ghost isn't the easiest thing to make. You cut two holes in a white sheet, put it over your head, that thing's going to slip slide all around. So you got to figure out how to hold it in place. You've got to figure out how to, like, reinforce the holes. You got to figure out how to keep those holes in front of the eyes. It's a whole deal. We figured it out. She had a pretty cool ghost costume. But I used to love doing that. Like, there was a really crafty period in my life when I was, you know, like, I'm going to just do this. I made Willow a She-Ra costume one year, like, just because I thought it'd be fun and cool to do. I think it turned out really well. It was stressful. It was a pain, but I did it, and I still like looking at the pictures of it, because I think I did a pretty good job. But Mama and Papa resigned to the fact that, yes, as parents, they're going to have to do this for their kids. And they do it, and the costumes turn out amazingly well. In fact, they look exactly like they look in the cubs' imaginations. So I guess the lesson here is, just get your parents to do it, kid. Just make your parents do your costumes. That's what parents do. They make your kids costumes. Like, that is it. I think that's the lesson. Parent, you're going to make the costumes. And sisters are mutant swan. Brother is a fire-breathing dragon. Honey is a ladybug. And they have zippers, they have seams. You can tell these aren't characters, you know, like, these are headpieces, these are made out of reinforced materials. They have stirrup pants. They're cute. They're cubs, so they're not wearing shoes. apparently there are twisted wires involved. We see on the ground stuff Mama and Papa used to make these. And it is Mama and Papa. Papa's holding shears. Mama has pins in her mouth. But now it's time for the party because they're throwing, I should have mentioned, there is a huge party going. And we have a nice big image of the neighborhood neighbors coming to help fix up the bear's treehouse for the party. They're hanging spooky ghosts in the tree. And it's pretty cool. If you live in a tree, that's pretty fun to decorate. You got a fake witch hanging from the branches. It looks like a handyman Bob, whatever his name is like hanging up some dried corn. Lizzie Bruin's mom is hanging a skeleton on the front door. Looks like people are setting up cornhole. It's a whole thing. We got cubs running around. It's like Cousin Fred looks like he's dressed as a pirate. It's like Lizzie maybe dressed as an astronaut. We got a cub dressed as a mouse, a cub dressed as a tiger, a cub dressed as what looks like a shark. This is a pretty fun party, and the kids are going pretty nuts already. So there's a costume parade. And they each get instruments. We got a nice two-page spread of the costume parade. This book is replete with two-page spreads, by the way. We got cubs banging on trash can lids, blowing noisemakers, ringing cowbells, tooting horns, banging drums, smashing cymbals, drums to whack, pot lids to bang on, touring the neighborhood, toot bong, clang womp. It's noisy. It's riot. It is nuts. The parents look tired. The kids are having a great time. Quintessential costume parade. Did you do costume parade? When you were a kid, did your school do them? My school did them. And we'd actually march from classroom to classroom in our costumes in elementary school, showing off our costumes, seeing the costumes of our peers. Costume parade, just great fun. Again, a little bit of pressure. Like you got to put your, the pressure is on because everyone's going to see your costume. But man, that was a good time. I just loved making costumes. I loved wearing costumes. I loved Halloween. Oh, so much fun. I don't even know if schools do costume parades anymore. Do your neighborhoods do costume parades? Does your neighborhood do a Halloween parade or like a fun fair or anything? Is that a thing where you are? I know that like churches and stuff around here do them. The schools don't. They are not allowed to do that here, which I find a little weird. It's a festival. They do things called fall festival, but there's no like Halloween involved, which what's the point? You know, like fall festival, who cares? We're not harvesting anything. Then it's time for refreshments because everyone's hungry and thirsty, you know, following the giant parade. They dole out refreshments. I can't tell what they're eating. It looks like mashed potatoes and hot dogs, I guess. Like it's hot dogs and mashed potatoes, which that's fine. I would totally eat hot dogs and mashed potatoes. And you got a few up, right? Like, because there's actually more to come, such as bobbing for apples. Billy Griswold, who is dressed as the tiger, looks like he lost a tooth bobbing for apples. But he says, fine, that's all right, he says. It was Luth anyway, which, you know, cool. I don't see any blood, so I don't believe that was, I don't know. It's weird. Like, even if it was loose anyway, it'd probably bleed a little bit. Mike, draw more blood in your Berenstain Bears books. I want more blood. It's a Halloween book. Where's the blood? Where's the blood, Mike? Billy Griswold. Haven't heard from him in a while. He's a name that pops up every so often. So I like that Mike's giving him a line and a moment in the sun. He gets his own page. It's just nice. It's nice for Billy. It's nice that we can all be there when this happened for him. Then they play, I guess they call it beanbag toss. In Minnesota, they call it cornhole, which is a hilarious term. Makes me laugh every single time anyone mentions cornhole in a casual manner. They call it beanbag toss in this game. It's just pumpkins. Like, it looks like it's four holes, 40 points, 30 points, 20 points, 10 points, with the higher number being the higher up, further away hole. And they just have pumpkins painted around. It's not really a Halloween game. It's just a party game, like an outdoor game. But the mouse cub throws a beanbag and it bounces off Papa's head. And he says, hey, I'm glad he doesn't say ouch or anything. Because A, that would make the kid feel bad. Kid already feels bad. Kid says sorry. But also that wouldn't hurt. You know, it's not like they're throwing rocks. You don't play cornhole with rocks. You play with beanbags. Beanbag toss. We called it growing up as well. I didn't hear cornhole until I moved up here. And people said it just with a straight face. They're like, oh, they're playing cornhole. And I'm like, that's terrible. But I guess it's regional. So next up, Mama's face painting. And this is interesting because I didn't ever think of Mama as a painter. I didn't think of Mama as like a bear who paints. She's a quilter and a craftsman. A crafter? A craftling? Craftanarian? I don't know what the term is. But she, I've never seen her paint. And she does a great job painting. She did such a wonderful job. The Cubs' parents didn't even recognize them, which is not true because the Cubs are still wearing their costumes. And in fact, what she did is she actually paints on their face in ways that complement the costumes they're wearing. So the tiger cub gets, I guess, Billy Griswold gets tiger stripes painted on his face. There's a cub there as the Tin Man, and she paints like seams and rivets on that cub's face. There's a dragon cub, but not brother, just a different dragon, gets like a purple mask that matches the color of the costume. There's a pumpkin cub who gets sort of a pumpkin mask with like leaves and stuff painted on their face. Lizzie Bruin, who's dressed as an astronaut, gets stars painted on her face. And there's a witch who gets kind of just sort of a green creepy mask painted on her face. What I'm going to say is that's a cool idea. If you are a face painter and you can paint the kids' faces so that they actually like the paint, like the design actually enhances the costume that child is wearing, you've gone above and beyond. That's a $10 face paint job right there, I think. And Mama's doing it for free. So kudos to you, Mama, and kudos to you, Mike, for I've just never thought about that, but that's a good idea. Then it's time for pin the bone on the skeleton, which is basically pin the tail on the donkey, but with skeletons. And there's also a musical tombstones, which is like musical chairs, only they use these sort of like prop comical tombstones that say like funny things on them. So rest in pieces, says one tombstone, and Pearl E. Gates is one of the names on it, and Izzy Dead, and I'm a Goner. And then one that just says RIP, which I guess as they go along, you knock a tombstone down so you can like eliminate another person. And in the end, it's Cousin Fred and Lizzie Bruin who sit on the last tombstone together, which means it ends in a tie. And I think it's funny because this is Mr. and Mrs. Bruin who are running these games, pin the bone on the skeleton and musical tombstones. And I just think it's weird, like Lizzie Bruin, like if your kid is one of the winners, if it's a tie, give it to the other kid. I think it's weird. Like she's the mom of one of the winners. I don't know. Biased much, Mrs. Bruin, I guess is the point I'm trying to make. Then there is Pumpkin Pinata, which I think it's not a real pumpkin, but it looks like one. So Papa has a stick, a long stick, and on the end of it hangs a pumpkin pinata. And then he's sort of moving it around, and the kids are coming out blindfolded to whack it with the bat. The cub who's dressed as a shark, though, swings and somehow whacks Papa in the ankle with the bat, which is not where the pumpkin even would be. I don't know if this kid was just super disoriented or just really wanted to hurt Papa Bear, which doesn't surprise me. Kids can be cruel, and Papa's gotten up to shenanigans in Bear Town, so maybe the kid's just like, this guy needs to be taken down a notch. Whacks him in the knee, like totally, like this is like a hit job. This is like a mob enforcer attack on Papa's ankle or knee or shin. It's hard to tell with the bears, their legs are so tiny. This hurts though. Like he makes he makes probably the most screwed up face Papa's made in a while. He looks like a jack-o'-lantern. But finally, the jack-o'-lantern pinata gets burst and the kids rush and gobble up sweets. So the pumpkin, this candy gets scattered and Papa sits there nursing his leg. Like, and he is still hurt, by the way. Like this hasn't ended. Papa Bear is still, he's still very injured. This cub did a number on Papa's leg. It's going to bruise. And I mean, he's not a child. He's going to have, you know, it's going to hurt the next day is what I'm saying. I know that Papa's only supposed to be in his early 30s, I think. If he was my age, that's it. Like, that's it for the week. Halloween's on a Thursday this year. I'd be out till Monday. Like if a kid hit me in the leg with a bat, forget it. And it's a bat that's strong enough to open a pinata. So this isn't just some wiffle ball bat. It's a bat that's strong enough to bust up a pinata. Poor Papa. Poor Papa. So then there's a costume judging contest. And this is where, you know, like a pet show contest, like every children's book series has like the big pet show. Like Berenstain Bears has done it. I think maybe did Arthur do it? I know that Ezra Jack Keats has one. And the idea is that like everyone brings their pet. And then in the end, each pet gets a prize. And there's just a bunch of made up prize names because everyone gets a treat. So at the end of this, everyone gets a prize for this. Sister Bear shows off her pretty awesome costume, by the way. But the bear, one of the bears who's dressed as a witch gets a prize for the straightest hat. There's other witches there as well. Like every time there's a new drawing, there's actually more, cubs. Like, I don't know how many cubs are at this party at this point. Mike just keeps adding cubs. There's a cub dressed as the evil queen who I think is supposed to be Queenie. I believe in her past book, she is dressed up as the evil queen from Snow White. We see a cub dressed as a rooster. We see three witches. So one of them has the pointiest, straightest hat. So she gets the prize for straightest hat. I'm I'm sure they give out prizes for the wrinkliest. I mean, the other two witches are holding prizes. So, and they're actually like wrapped presents, which who knows what's in them. The dinosaur with the sharpest horn gets a prize. And they all get handed prizes. And then, so this has been quite an intense, like there's been candy, there's been mashed potatoes, there's been hot dogs. There's been bobbing for apples, there's been pin the bone, there's been musical tombstones. There's been a prize contest, there's been a whole costume parade. Now it's time to actually go trick-or-treating. That's right. And Mike has drawn a beautifully atmospheric two-page spread of the neighborhood with everyone has their decorations up. And it's like, it's truly, these guys have gone to Menards and bought the 20-foot-tall skeleton, the 20-foot-tall Frankenbear, the 20-foot-tall vampire bear, giant 4-foot-long spiders hanging in the tree branches, hanging in front of doors, ghosts hanging from the trees, spooky lanterns lining the walk, jack-o'-lanterns on the fences. This is full-on neighborhood Halloween. Love it, love it, love it. Love it, love it. Absolutely love it. 10 out of 10, no notes. There's fake skeletons, ghosts, ghouls, spiders, and monsters everywhere. We have a nice recreation of an illustration from the previous book, Berenstain Bears, Trick or Treat, where they go visit Ms. McGriz, and it's her house. It looks just as spooky, except this year she even has creepy sound effects playing out of a boombox on the stump outside of her home. She has a creaky door effect going on. She loves Halloween. They love Halloween. They're all trick-or-treating. And here's what's cool. We have the Cubs. The older Cubs are all off trick-or-treating by themselves. You have brother and sister, Lizzie and cousin Fred. They're in a group. We have like the Tiger Cub and some other Cubs. Like the Cubs who aren't like the main friend group. They're off doing their own thing. They're trick-or-treating as a group. And then the little Cubs, like Honey, the Cub who's dressed as a pumpkin, the Cub who's dressed as a mouse, they're trick-or-treating with their parents. So I like that. Like, I like that the parents aren't following the older kids around. They're there, but they're really there for Honey. It's a domestic scene. It's a very domestic. Reminds me of the trick-or-treating scene in E.T. when Michael takes Gertie and Elliot out, but he's really there with Gertie. It's not really Gertie, though. It's an alien. It's a whole, if you haven't seen E.T., it's a whole story. There's an alien in it, just so you know. Then they get home and they divvy up. They do the great thing. They count up their treats. They sit out on blankets and count up how many treats they got. 15 bear nut bars, says brother. 17 grizzly pops, says sister. Honey just says lots of honey drops. She can't count that high. I'm going to do it for her, though. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 16, maybe 17, but at least 16 honey drops. And these things are big. They're like the size of her fist. So they're going to last her for a while. She got 16 honey drops. Looks like she has 16, like, Berenstain balls. Like, you know, the too much junk food candy balls. She got 16 of them. She's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. She's got 9 Hershey's Kisses. But again, these are Hershey's Kisses that are large, like half the size of her fist. Big Hershey's, like Halloween Kisses. 3 cupcakes, 6 full-size candy bars, right? Looks like 3 Slim Jims, sugar daddies, sugar babies. The ones that are on the sticks. I can't remember which one those are. 5 giant lollipops. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like 9 just wrapped pieces, like square, like caramels or something. Honey Bear made out like a bandit. I mean, everyone made out like bandits. But Honey Bear, for a kid her age, her size, quintessential Halloween. She did great. She had her basket. She did great. Look at all that candy. Lots of honey drops. And then it's the end. That's the end of the book. It gets late. Everyone goes home. Good night to Mama, Papa, Brother, Sister, and Honey. Happy Halloween. Everyone's tuckered out. A wonderful Halloween party had been had by all. That's the end of the book. We go back to the cover, the big Halloween party. What does it say on the back? Truth in advertising. What does it say on the back? It's trick-or-treat season in Bear Country, and the whole neighborhood is getting together for the party. There will be a big Halloween parade, ghoulish games, a monstrous costume contest, and treats for everyone. Brother, sister, and Honey can hardly wait for all the ghostly goodies and fun. And you know what? That's what happened. That's exactly what happened in the Berenstain Bears' big Halloween party. What are my thoughts on this? There's no even philosophy behind this. This isn't even like last week's book where there was a lesson to teach. This is just Halloween fun, Halloween goodness, Halloween, dare I say, greatness. Whether or not you bought the hardback, whether or not you bought the digital, This is a great Halloween book. I mean, I know I'm biased. I like the Berenstain Bears. I like Halloween. I'm a sucker for all of this. But great book, wonderful illustrations. If you're watching along on YouTube, you get to see the illustrations. Check it out. You can buy this on Kindle. I think it's like $7 or $8. Or, you know, I think you can buy it on other digital platforms. I have the Kindle version because it's easiest for me. But you can also buy it hardback. It wasn't that pricey. I think it was like $10 or so. And you know what? This thing is totally worth having. It's sturdy. It comes, okay, not only does it come with a giant poster. That's right. It comes with a giant Happy Halloween poster. That's basically the opening two-page spread. I haven't removed it from the book. It comes with cards. And I was like, what does that mean, cards? Halloween cards. Just what it says. It comes with like the six cards that say, have a happy Halloween, happy Halloween, happy Halloween, have a happy Halloween, have a happy Halloween. I mean, that's pretty much what they say. And then a picture of Ms. McGriz. But on the backs of these, and they're little cards, but on the backs of these, it has a deer and a from. They're basically Halloween Valentines. Valoweens. Halentines. And you know what I say? Let's replace Valentine's Day giving with Halloween card giving. Like, in schools, I mean. Isn't that more comfortable? Isn't it more comfortable to say, like, I hope you have a happy Halloween than to say, I want you to be my romantic partner for life? Like, that's better for a five-year-old to say, right? That's better for a fifth grader to say to their classmate, the guy who picks on them, but they have to give him a card because that's the rule of the class. Better to have a card that says, spook him up with some skeletons, Billy, than like, I want you to love me forever. I love you so much. I love you forever. You're my romantic soulmate partner, Valentine. Like, I think that's more appropriate for a school. So, you know, whatever. That's my idea. And then, of course, the obligatory, but very welcome, especially from this book, page of Berenstain Bears stickers, because we've got so many cool costumes for this book. We got all the costumes represented, even the shark that kneecap Papa. We've even got the word boo with some bears in it, and we got a little, some atmospheric things. We got some Berenstain bats and a moon. We got the witch. We just got all kinds. It's a great set of Berenstain. Sometimes the stickers that come with the books are a little, hey, they had to find something to make a sticker out of. This is a good book. This is worth getting. You can still order it, have it in time for Halloween. Give it to your kid as a Halloween present, I guess. Do you give Halloween presents? Who knows? Maybe you do. But otherwise, that is the Berenstain Bears big Halloween party. Spoiler alert, it was. It was a big Halloween party, but not overwhelmingly big. Like, this is a doable Halloween party. I wouldn't do the bobbing for apples. That is filthy. That's disgusting. Nobody likes it. But replace it with something else. Pie toss. I don't know. I don't know anything. I don't know any party. I don't do party games. Maybe an arts and crafts station. Make your own jack-o'-man. I don't know. But that's the Berenstain Bears big Halloween party by Mike Berenstain. Pick up a copy of it today. It's a good one. It's a good one. It's a good one. If you like Halloween, if you like spooky stuff, if you like spooky business, Willow and I just reviewed Mary Shelley's Frankenstein over on It's Del Toro Time. And we've got the Italian movie, The Arcane Sorcerer, coming up. Because it's next on the list. And it's a spook-em-up, I think. It's Italian, and it was very hard to find. I had to buy an Italian DVD just to own it, because it's just not available anywhere. So I put in a lot of legwork. So when The Arcane Sorcerer comes out, give that a listen or a watch. You can watch it on YouTube along with my other videos. So spook-em-up. Keep spooking. Keep spooking in the free world. Ghouls and ghosts and ghosts and goblins, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for being a part of all this. Keep on with the fangs, I guess, and I'll see you all next time deep in Bear Country.